Okay, no further comments and recent report. We move down to item 4, which is the progress report from the task group on management model for the Harbour Fund. Reference is made to paper number 2 in our meeting documents today. Concerning this particular progress report, I'd like to report that the task group held a further meeting on December the 9th to discuss the drafting of the recommendation part of our final report, the so-called recommendation report, and we also discussed the revised design concept and development approach for sites 1 and 2 in the new Central Harbourfront. Then paper number 3, which is our finished product, the recommendation report of the task group. It was endorsed by the task group and then sent to all members of the HEC on January 27. I'd like to thank members of the task group for their hard work and input to the report. It has crystallized the research and study findings of the task group since its formation in December 2007, including a number of trips and numerous briefings and discussion. I'd like to highlight and report on the key features of the recommendation report, assuming you have time to go through the recommendation report. The two key recommendations of the task group report, firstly, is the establishment or proposed establishment of an overarching non-sessionary harbourfront commission, which will also promote the wider application of public-private partnership, PPP, in harbourfront development and management in the future. Concerning the first recommendation, the proposed Harbourfront Commission will replace our HEC and will assume overall envisioning, advocacy, oversight, advisory, coordination, and monitoring roles as per task group discussion over many months. On membership, the proposed commission will continue to be chaired by an independent non-official, and the Secretary for Development will take up the vice chairmanship to ensure high-level policy support from the government. As with the current HEC, the proposed commission will comprise both non-official individual and organization members, as well as senior government officials. The Commission may advocate, initiate, and formulate initiative, programs, and projects. To assist the Commission in carrying out its function, the Commission may set up a number of panels to be chaired by and made up of Commission members. As the proposed Commission will not be given statutory or executive power, it is expected to be assisted by the authorities that exist within the government. Operationally, the Harbour Unit will be responsible for following up the work of the Commission and the necessary coordination within the government. The Harbour Unit, on a site-specific or project-specific basis, may establish project teams to assist the type of work. It will also serve as the secretariat of the future Commission. Having researched into different management models and visited various successful harbour funds overseas, the task group recommends the wider application of PPP, which would allow the government to tap into the strength of the private sector in various aspects. The proposed commission is expected to assist in devising future PPP arrangement on a project by project basis. I'd like to now invite members to comment on this final report of the task group. Please.
Chairman, members, this report has caused at least two phone calls from the media to me last night. And the disappointment I noticed were the questions that focus on the why not an authority. And I believe that in both instances my response has been clear to highlight that the Hong Kong situation is very different from other countries. In other countries, we often have a almost negative land value of the harbourfront with dilapidated structures, contamination, a lack of infrastructure that requires a lot of investments, and that because of and that there is usually a lot of different government bodies and land ownership involved, which is then usually responded to by with the setup of an authority that takes over land ownership, has an ability to get long-term financing that is otherwise not available. And none of that, those circumstances apply in Hong Kong. Our waterfront land is primarily in government hands. It is the most expensive land in the world. There is no negative land value. There's a significant positive land value where we actually looking to have land uses which have a lower value than otherwise expected if we sell it for residential development or use it for infrastructure. So the challenges are entirely different, and therefore the issue is not the need of an authority. The issue is really how do we coordinate the efforts of all the various government departments effectively so that we can create a wonderful harbourfront. So that is in terms of the authority, why not an authority, and the responses that I've given as a member of the task force to outside questions on the issue. I'd like to put forward one challenge, though, for the Commission. Kai Tak is about the same size as Marina Bay. If the Commission can make sure that Kai Tak beats Marina Bay in its development, in the quality of its development, in the way it regains international stature, in the way it regains importance within Hong Kong, as Marina Bay does within Singapore, then the Commission has done a good job. So I'd like to put forward that as a great challenge for the Commission. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Any other points or views from members? Nick, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I've also been badgered by the media and have to do TV and radio immediately after the meeting. Obviously, I'm interested to hear members' views. Clearly, this represents a lot of hard work, a lot of discussion, a lot of debate. And I think it represents, if you like, a pragmatic way forward. I take Paul's point. I don't think an authority is what we're looking at in this instance. I think we're looking at an organisation which can help coordinate and help drive things forward. And I think the recommendations within the report recognise and reflect that. Questions I've been asked by the media, which I think are important. First of all, are we sure we have the support from within the administration for the Commission? Is there the support from within the administration for the Commission? I know we have the Secretary for Development here, and I'm convinced she is very supportive of the initiative, otherwise we wouldn't be where we are today. But I don't know, and maybe there's something she may help us with, whether there is wider support within the administration for the initiative, because it will be important. This isn't just about development, there's transport, there's infrastructure, many other departments, many other parts of government involved, and unless we're all pulling together, unless there is general support, that potentially could be a challenge. Support from the private sector, I think, will be important too, because this is really an initiative which will need to involve all stakeholders. We know that organisations like the HBF, Harbour Business Forum, are very much supportive of this as a general direction. But there are many other organisations out there, and I think there's a bit of marketing to be done, if I may put it that way, to make sure that the business community behind us I think, for instance, we have some work to do with the development community to make sure that they pull in a similar way to what is suggested in this paper. A key ingredient which is reflected in the paper is, of course, the PPP model. And one of the issues, again, challenges we face, I think, the success rate to date of PPP in Hong Kong has not been all that great. I think it's widely misunderstood as a model, if you like. It's seen in a very narrow context, and of course there are a wide number of variations in terms of how you might achieve a public-private partnership. So again, I think part of this, the ingredients for success are getting across that we're not being prescriptive in terms of any one public-private model. There are a whole range of models out there which we think could achieve the objective, and we're willing to look at any one of them, or the Commission will be willing to look at any one of them as it takes things forward. I take Paul's point on Kai Tak as well. I mean, I think if there is a showcase, that's the showcase. And really, if the Commission can throw its weight and its thoughts behind the future of Kai Tak, I think that would be a wonderful way for it to kick off. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Nick. Any further comments? Nikan, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't have any more thing to add, but to remind that I think setting up a statutory harbourfront commission, however, is an aspiration that I think members shared, but that we understand that it will not be done in the immediate future. We agree with the idea that it would be more effective for the government to do the coordination work now, but I think in the future we think that the commission should revisit these options and consider the pros and cons of going through that route.
Sure, please.
Thank you, Chairman. We legislate or we move to statutory measures, I guess, always in life where voluntary measures fail. So the key challenge for us must be to set out our objectives and targets, and for the Commission to set out its objectives and targets, and to have ways of measuring. It's that measuring of progress, measuring of performance, and actually demonstrating the achievements that will be the measure of success. I think as a collective, we put together this report in the spirit that this articulation of the way forwards would be workable and would deliver the results that we were looking for, and that the need to go on to statutory measures would not be required, and it has then to prove that to be the case. Of course, if that isn't the case, then you go to the next round of reviews and seeing what you do next, but that's very much the spirit. On the PPP, I think the spirit that one size does not fit all is very important, and that if we've learned anything, the lessons are that applying PPP to two smaller sites with too short a time frame are the things that we should be avoiding. So larger scale areas and longer term views about these partnerships is a very important part of it. And it's the spirit of partnership. And again, we've got to get beyond the mistrust of partnerships with the private sector. And I think that's a very important part of forming the partnerships moving forwards. I think everybody should enter it into it and with great transparency, and transparency is one of the issues which the Commission will no doubt have to address in forming these partnerships. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Yes, Kim.
其實這個是否一個正確的價值觀，其實我們要搞清楚這件事。 你個價值係好重要嘅。整個社會你唔能夠話係得政府係無限量嘅資源去投放落去，唔可能。我哋要一啲係夥伴，呢啲係合作夥伴去做呢樣嘢。其實嗰、那個睇翻出嚟，我哋係嗰個最後嗰、那個嗰、那個成果係邊個得益，邊個享受緊嗰樣嘢，係其實係重要嘅。咁其實我想達成呢樣嘢。多謝。
Thank you. Carol, please.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. I consider that I think this report represent the majority view of this committee. And a few points I'd like to mention that actually I think this is a progressive step to set up a commission like the HarbourFront Commission, although what we propose may not be an optimum model. But the core is that we need to, at least two aspects we need to pay attention. The first point is that the two core principle in the in HarbourFront management in modern time is to stakeholder engagement is one of the most important element, not just public participation, but all stakeholders that have an interest in the HarbourFront should be given a chance to take part in the process. A second point is that although PPP is desirable, but in most of the cases location we visit, we find that the government always take a leading role in bringing the management and also the development part of the harbourfront. And so I think the most important part for Hong Kong case is that it's still important for government to take a leading role to formulate a vision, a policy vision, and also the strategic focus for the harbourfront management in the future, so that we can have a more integrated and also consistent development of the harbourfront.
Thanks, Harold. Wilson, please.
多謝主席。我本身係即係支持呢一個嘅報告，因為呢個都係相當長時間嘅大家一齊即係討論啊、研究出嚟嗰個成果。咁我想主喺度主要係強調即係幾點嘅，因為即係好似其他嘅同事咧，我都係俾傳媒即係問過嘅。咁咁啲人就話咁你都爭咗少少，咁有乜分別咧？咁樣樣唔又係嚇？咁我自己睇就我有幾點係睇到，我想同大家分享一下。我第一點咧就係話，其實嗰、那個即係。我哋發覺過去經驗最，即如果要做到一個好嘅海濱咧，或者成個規劃啊，或者係一個實踐咧，嗰、那個政府部門之間嗰個配合係相當重要。好多時候我哋都發現嗰個結啊，就喺咗嗰個即係部門之間嗰、那個聯繫嗰方面，有時我哋打通到，譬如喺嗰個渠務處嗰個小工程裏面，我真係打通到好開心嘅，咁但係有時咧，你又發覺，又幾年都見到都係咁樣棄喺度，咁又係好失望。咁所以，我覺得就算無論任何嘅架構，無論嘅組織，即係不論始終去到最後咧，都係需要嗰、那個即係。有能力去打通即係嗰個不同嘅局同埋部門之間嗰、那個即係合作同埋嗰個即係做法先至得。咁呢個係始係第一點。第二樣嘢就係話，亦都係無論任何嘅架構，我哋都係講緊一班即係義工喺度做 member。即係好難得，即係過去咁多年咧，即係我感受到就喺共建維港委員會嗰班人咧，係摸定一個義工嚟嘅，即係佢同義工嘅即係佢差唔多，佢哋嘅工作係好似翻緊工咁樣樣去做。有人甚至去懷疑究竟呢班人係唔係冇嘢做嘅平時。咁但係事實上又係佢哋因為對於嗰、那個即係海濱規劃啊，即係對香港成個發展嗰種慾感咧，佢係花咗好多即係時間。咁呢樣嘢係得來不易。咁我覺得即係話，如果係話即係當局冇相應嘅配合咧，其實即係呢啲嘅能量咧，其實係會借嘅咁所以。 我都希望后继嘅人都系继续有呢一种咁嘅魄力去即系继续去工作啦。咁但系当然啦，始终就系话嗰个啊政府当局，譬如 Harvard Unit， 我相信系要加人手啦，吓、啊、去因为嗰啲就系翻工噶嘛。咁嗰啲就應該係去配合即成個commission 嗰個方向。咁最後我想講一點就係話，依、這個委員會喺公眾眼中嗰個形象係點樣樣？咁因為即係共建環保委員會開初亦都係俾人覺得係幫政府護航去填海嘅啫，咁但係即係事實上我哋嘅工作即係做落係。即係唔係淨係講緊即係填海定唔填海咁簡單，咁即係依個應受性係需要時間去賺取啊。咁當然我哋需要做嘅就係我哋唔好唔記得咗嗰個 public engagement， 即係呢個係我哋頭先阿 Carlo 都講，係好重要嘅一個即係制定方向嘅一個過程啊。同埋我哋都希望係快啲有一啲東西係一個成果咧，係讓公眾真係可以享用，呢、這個好緊要。即系我相信今时今日公众已经唔能够净系即系满足于一幅好靓嘅规划图，而行到落去个海滨，即系都系即系泥一撇咁样样。咁我相信即系如果能够尽快做出成果咧，呢样嘢系亦都系嗰个即系委员会可以俾到一个即系公众嘅一个信心嘅一个指标。多谢主席。
我能體會啊 ，Vincent 呢個義工頭或者大義工六年嘅心路歷程，咁啊，唔知道大家有啲咩其他 comment？Vincent，
thank you, Chairman. 有三首三點想講翻嘅，咁頭先阿 Carlo 就講咧，即係嗰個public-private partnership 同埋嗰個 participation 啦。咁其實public-private partnership 咧，即係我哋喺學院教書咧，其實就譬如 EU 咧出咗一大本 manual 啊，咁好多時候我哋即係要去即係唔係咁簡單話用即係私人嗰個資源嘅，其實呢個過程呢係一個大家都係學習過程，係成個社會建立一個即係佢嗰個即係管治嘅能力嘅一個過程嚟嘅。咁所以我諗即係如果我哋咁樣去睇嘅時候呢，咁即係睇成即係與其睇成官商勾結，不如係諗下我哋可唔可以有個更加創新啲嘅方法，係真係可以建立一個新嘅文化，讓香港可以唔同嘅持份者都可以一起合作去做好呢一個即係海港嘅規劃啦。咁頭先阿 Paul 咧就講話，即係我哋啟德要即係要靚過新加坡嘅 Marina Bay 咁。咁其實咧，我自己就覺得佢哋填咗個海，仲要得三座嘢喺個海邊嗰度咧，其實就已經輸曬噶啦。不過咧，即係當然佢哋喺個細眉細眼嘅規劃設計嗰個方面咧，佢哋係做得好過我哋嘅。咁我希望即係好盼望就係第時哈咧，即係 unit 即係下面會有一啲喺我哋個報告裡面第18版咧，就話會有一啲係即係跨即係學科嘅，即係我哋要multidisciplinary 嘅唔同嘅部門嘅人咧一齊去做。希望咧我哋能夠可以將香港有規劃，但係冇具體即係好細眉細眼嘅設計啊，或者我哋叫做即係園林設計啊，或者城市嘅規劃、城市設計嘅，即係嗰方面咧，如果你做翻好一啲，喺嗰個推行嘅時候可以做好啲咧，我好相信我哋會做得好過，即係我哋一定會做得，即係我哋可以喺即係亞洲會做得即係更加好咯。咁我真係想交翻呢三點。
假如冇其他 comment， 或者我哋請局長又講講佢嘅睇法啦。
Thank you very much, Chairman. Well, first of all, I really want to express my heartfelt appreciation to the Chairman for chairing this particular task group on the management model of the Harbourfront and for all the hard work and dedicated efforts made by members over the last 2 years. In fact, we extended for a few months the tenure of the HEC just to allow sufficient time for the debate to complete and for a consensus to be reached on this very important topic of finding the right management model for the harbour front. As members will recall, this particular item was included in the terms of reference of this term of HEC and my request because I regard that other than planning, design, management is equally important, because that's the only way to assure that people could really enjoy the harbourfront through a proper management model. Like many members, I'm very happy with the recommendations we now reached as contained in the report before members, and I hope that the main committee will find it possible to endorse the report at this final meeting. I understand this is supposed to be the final meeting of the extended tenure of the HEC, of course, unless the members take longer to finish some of the businesses on the agenda. The recommendation report has definitely laid a very solid foundation for the future of harbourfront planning, development and management. And I don't want to repeat myself on the on why we also feel that a non-statutory advisory, yet more influential commission is perhaps the right formula at the present circumstances, because most of the arguments have been rehearsed by individual members already. I just want to add that the land value consideration is not a relevant consideration, since the government has already pledged that the harbourfront promenade areas will be devoted as much as possible for public enjoyment. It is not because that we still have plans to dispose of land for commercial gain that we fear the setting up of a statutory authority. But as some members have pointed out, the biggest challenge now in front of us is really the coordination needed within the administration to put in place the vision that this committee and member and many members of the public have expressed about the harbourfront, which requires a lot of champion, a lot of leadership and commitment from the administration. So to answer Nick's question on how wide support there is within the administration, I can quote you, of course, what the chief executive said in his policy address, and how Central Harbour Fund has also made its way into this big initiative on conserving Central as an illustration of a commitment of the administration. Because I think the chief executive, like anybody else, realizes, as the chairman has rightly said, that the Victoria Harbour is the greatest natural asset that we have. It's an icon of Hong Kong. So it is obliged on us to make it work. But unfortunately, we are not starting with a clean slate, as other places are, for example, in Singapore's Marina Bay, for example, in the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority, which is a clean slate, a greenfield site, so to speak, for them to work on. But in our case, we have a lot of legacies, a lot of problems we have inherited and we need to resolve. Apart from the government side, there are, as members will recall, parts of the waterfront site which have been taken up by privately owned land. That's a very big issue that we need to address in time to come. So that's why we have been, I would say, advocating that perhaps the immediate task for us, or the immediate challenge for us, is to get all parts of the administration to look at the harbourfront in a more coherent manner and try to overcome some of those problems that Vincent has just so rightly described. I'm pretty confident that there is sufficient support within the administration to help us to take forward what the HEC has recommended. The 22 action areas have also been mentioned in the Chief Executive's policy address, but we have to be pragmatic. We cannot turn things around overnight, so there are things that we need to take time. Take, for instance, the phase one of the Kwun Tong Promenade that many members have visited. Why we have adopted a two-phase approach instead of developing the Kwun Tong Promenade in one go is because of the needed pragmatism to address the job as well as the economic activities in the public works cargo area. We cannot just kick out all those operators without a sufficient notice, without adequate relocation planning, and so on and so on. But I'm happy to say that at the recent meeting that I had with the Secretary for Environment and the Secretary for Transport and Housing, because those PW, the current operators happen to be paper recyclers, So I brought the SEN into into the scene to appeal to him for support to find relocation arrangements so that by 2011 summer, we'll be able to develop phase two of the Kwun Tong Promenade. So these are examples of how an effective champion within the administration at this point in time could help resolve some of the problems. But of course, we continue to need the wisdom and this stakeholder involvement in harbourfront matters, and hence the harbourfront commission idea is a great one. And now we are putting this body on par with important committees, though also non-statutory, like the Elderly Commission, the Women's Commission, the Family Council, and the Council on Sustainable Development. Although each of these four existing commissions is also serviced by one bureau, for example, Environment Bureau with the Council on Sustainable Development and Home Affairs with Family Council, they, like the harbourfront matters, span across the spectrum of government activities. So all the bureaus and departments have to play a part in promoting the welfare of elderly people, in making sure that our policies are family-friendly. So I want to assure members that the fact that the Harbourfront Commission stays within Development Bureau doesn't mean that it is only owned by Development Bureau. We have this sort of division of labor and structure within the administration that we need to respect and to operate within. But I think that there are very good strengths from the HEC that we have learned that we will definitely preserve in the future commission. First is, of course, to have a very independent, reputable and credible chairman. Though it is very difficult to find another substitute for Professor Lee, I think this is my biggest challenge, to find a chairman for the future Harbourfront Commission. And secondly, is this nomination approach where we allow stakeholders to nominate members to sit on the committee and upon whatever names given to us. I think we are still setting, being the leader in this sort of government committees in appointing members. And the third strength that has been developed by HEC is, of course, this very openness in conducting meetings, in sharing with members of the public minutes and agenda, and also even in agenda setting. We're very liberal in agenda setting. So again, I can assure members that all this strength in the operation of HEC will be inherited by the future Harbourfront Commission. On top of that, based on the report, we will upgrade. So as some newspapers report today, Singap, I don't know what is Singap, but we are actually upgrading. The future commission chairman and members will no longer be appointed by the Secretary for Development, because the Secretary for Development herself will be a vice chairman of the commission. The report recommends that it will be appointed by the FS. I take it to mean that the members are actually just following the line of responsibility, right? That I'm under the FS, so naturally, if we are looking for a higher appointment authority, then it should be the FS. And I'm very happy to perform the role of vice chairman, so I have more personal involvement in all the future discussions of the commission, and to keep a close watch on how government departments are responding to members' discussions and requests. There are things that we have already sort of upgraded ourselves or improved before receiving this report. One is, of course, the Chief Executive's mandate, which was clear and loud in his policy address. Secondly, is the setting up of this dedicated harbour unit. I welcome member support that I need more resources. The harbourfront unit needs more resources. But just to explain a bit on how it operates, the harbourfront unit does not operate in isolation on its own. It's supported by other units, particularly on design matters. Arising from the tree management report, we will shortly be setting up this new landscape section in Development Bureau, and with the proposed design panel to involve outside experts and professionals in design matters on public open spaces and so on. So the landscape unit and the and all these colleagues dealing with greening will of course contribute to the work of the harbor unit. Members also mentioned about Kai-Tech. We have no plans to set up another authority for Kai-Tech, but we certainly have the same aspiration and passion to do Kai-Tech well in a more integrated way, particularly on design matters. So I think we have already secured our finance committee electoral approval for a new position to head Kai-Tech, the under John Chai's department. We called it Kai-Tech Junior as a deputy project manager in Kai-Tech. And he or she will certainly perform a more coherent role in ensuring that the design aspects of Kai-Tech will be taken care of. I just want to say a few words on PPP. I thank members for your understanding that we are living in an environment which is not very conducive to public-private partnership because of this perception, allegation, and fear of transfer of benefits or collusion. I can promise you that I personally have no fear in working with the private sector. What is important is to the rules of the game should be set out very clearly. The process should be very transparent. The selection should be based on, as far as possible, objective criteria, although when it comes to design, it could hardly be very objective. So we will continue to pursue vigorously the PPP model, but I have come to the view that perhaps the conventional PPP may not be very applicable to us. The conventional PPP is more on private sector financing, which is not very applicable to us. We really need private sector expertise and flexibility rather than we need their money because we do have the money to invest in our needed infrastructure and harbourfront enhancement. So I have already asked the harbour unit and my colleagues to try to identify as early as possible one suitable site of acceptable scale. I take Andrew's point, we need a scale, we need a duration of acceptable scale, accessibility, so that we could at least on that basis crystallize some of the concepts. Because I understand that throughout the proceedings of the task force, the task group is very difficult for you to advise us exactly on how PPP should be framed, because there isn't a candidate, there isn't a site yet. So we will try to come up with a site and propose some draft terms and conditions so that you could give us our ideas. And with that, I think the marketing could be done more easily. So we have a project in hand, then we go out and talk to developers and interested private sector partners to see how far we could take forward that PPP. Finally, I just want to mention the point about timing. There will inevitably be a gap, hopefully a short gap, between the expiry of this term of the HEC or the so-called formal dissolution of the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee and the formal establishment of the Harbourfront Commission, because after today's meeting, I need to formally receive this report and then take it forward with the administration and do all the other sorts of things, and then identify the candidates, write to the nominating bodies for names and so on and so on. But we promise to shorten the gap as far as possible. And hopefully, by the middle of this year, our target is now work towards the middle of this year to have the Harbourfront Commission formally set up. But in the intervening few months, it will be 3 or 4 months, we will continue with all the work that we are doing, identify possible sites and quick wins, and of course, with the help of CEDD, to see whether there are a few that we could now pursue to develop works projects and so on. And when the Harbourfront Commission is set up, we will definitely come to the Commission before we formally launch any invitation for proposals or expression of interest on any PPP sites. So there's no worry that we are trying to make use of a gap to do things without members overlooking our shoulders and so on. So I just want to conclude by thanking the chairman and members again for coming up with this very pragmatic report, which I hope will set the scene for another major stage of our work, our common work, in enhancing the Victoria Harbour Fund. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Connie. We'd like to thank you for all the support over the years to members. When we call, it was Terry who set up this HGC some 6 years ago. Those days, HGC is kind of a new animal. I would imagine it would take a bit of courage to set up a new animal like us those days, and you know, to define what is public engagement and all these things. And I agree with Mikian that it has been a learning process, hot job course, in all these years. And hopefully our experience helped to, you know, do up a new process and lead to new insights, new ways of doing things in the years ahead. So thank you, Gary, for all your support too. Okay. Now, you want to say something, Nick, before we move on? Or
could I also echo your thanks to the Secretary for her support over the years? It's been essential that we have such support. Just a couple of points, Chairman. One thing we haven't touched upon is Regco, our friend at the Register Council. If you remember, we debriefed them at the interim stage on our ideas about a commission. And they did ask, express the desire that we went back to them at some stage once our thinking was clear. Now, I don't know whether we take that on or whether the administration will take that on. That's one point that hasn't been touched upon today. The other thing is this gap, which I think is a pity. I appreciate it's going to take time to set up the commission and deal with all the formalities, but to have a gap of 3 or 4 months does seem a shame. Again, I'm just thinking creatively, if you want. I mean, we've extended the life of the HGC once. Is it possible, without too much formality, to extend the life of the HGC until the commission is in operation? I'm assuming the members around the table would be willing to serve for another 2 or 3 months, if asked. We've done it for 6 odd years now. I'm sure we wouldn't mind a few more months. But I think it would be politics to try and avoid a gap. I think if we could avoid a gap, it would be nice. Thank you, Chair.
Chairman, I'd like to pick up on the point of the gap and on the point of PPP. I think there is a need for continuous support while there is, and to make sure the gap is as short as possible, because there are a lot of things going on at the harbour as we speak. And if I can introduce here PPP briefly and in the various different ways, I don't think PPP in the traditional way applies, and I agree with the Secretary on that entirely. If you take some examples, in Le Yumun, if you look at PPP, it's the restaurant operators which are the ones that will participate, and the community users that are owning, quote unquote, the Typhoon shelter in Le Yumun. However, we as government are going to give them a $220 million pier, and we're going to give them that for free without getting them to participate in building a sewage system which allows to make sure that the water is clean. So we give them $200 million pier, but we don't have conditions, which means make sure that the sewage system goes in, which means you've got to stop down your restaurant for 2 months or 3 months while we're putting in the pipe in front of your door. Stop refusing. Make sure that that other people can use the typhoon shelter. Make sure you participate. So we have to make a deal with the commercial interest in the area in Le Yumun before we give them a hand. So that's not a traditional PPP, but really we're looking at a PPP there if we really want to make it work. In Queen's Farm, the waterfront, Wheelock wants to redevelop a property. It's the only property on the entire Queen's Farm waterfront, all the way from Queen's Farm Ferry Pier to the new hospitals in Kai Tak on the waterfront, the only commercial property right on the waterfront. The only way we're going to activate that waterfront will be that we will make sure that in the bottom of the in the ground floor areas of their property, there are facilities which allow activation of the waterfront. Currently, they're claiming a residential property which is a very exclusive gated community, which would therefore not help activate the waterfront. So again, PPP, there is somebody with a landed interest, we have a requirement, how do we work together with a developer like that? In Yau Tong Bay, clearly the issue has been raised in our subcommittee, and again, the PPP is, with those people with the landed interest, how are we going to work with them to make sure that not only the waterfront becomes vibrant and active, but also the water of the bay becomes vibrant and active? How can that be done? And that seems to need a close cooperation. I'm not sure that the current setting of the planning brief is going to get us that result. Now, how do we do that? How do we have that communication among the public interest, which is expressed in the OGC, the developers who have the landed interest, the government who has its procedures, and so on? How do we combine that as a PPP to make sure we go to an optimum solution? In Hang Hom, on the waterfront, the current commercial interest are the two kiosk operators which place tables and chairs outside on the waterfront, which is the only vibrancy on that waterfront, which is used by the community, which is the only place in the entire Hong Kong where you can have a $20 fried rice sitting at tables and chairs right on the waterfront, used by the community every night in the neighborhood. If we're going to redevelop that waterfront and we do it our standard way, we're going to lose those tables and chairs because they are not a formal authorized use of the land. Now, how are we going to work with those kiosk operators so that they continue to have a permission to put tables and chairs on the waterfront so it continues to be vibrant? Again, there's a commercial interest, there's a public interest. How do we work together with them? Again, that is the PPP in that particular situation. It's very minor, but if we put in the waterfront and we take away the tables and chairs, we have a very upset community that can't have a cheap fried rice in the waterfront anymore. So PPP in harbourfront matters is, and I agree that therefore with the Secretary entirely, is not the standard format of PPP. It's a very complicated, very tailored, very localized solutions that we have to look for. Thank you very much.
I'm not sure if Phil wants to respond to this.
Well, first on next point about LegCo. In fact, LegCo has set up a harbour a subcommittee under the development panel chaired by Professor Patrick Lau. Over the whole period of its establishment, we have been actively engaging the subcommittee. I think we have arranged a sort of round table between the LegCo members and the We have arranged several site visits for the subcommittee, I think three in total, during its existence. And during the last visit, the chairman and I had a discussion on how we could continue to help with the LegCo's work. And I have briefed him on the current state of affairs. So what we would do is we would go back to the subcommittee with a full report on the various things that have been discussed in the HEC, particularly on the management model for the harbourfront. The subcommittee would then discuss on the basis of the administration's report and then decide on whether they will then do their own report to wrap up the work of the LegCo harbourfront subcommittee, or they have other points they want us to deliberate further. So to answer your question, Nick, is we will do it. We are putting that in train with the agreement of the chairman of the Legislative Council subcommittee. On the gap issue, I don't want to sound bureaucratic because I'm always open to suggestions, but we have this idea of, again, extending the life of HEC has never crossed my mind before you mentioned. I thought that since this was extended last time for a very specific purpose to allow time for the management model task group to complete, and since the work has been completed, So the HEC should come to us then, and then we will wait for the establishment of the Harbourfront Commission. As I said, the gap will, we will try to reduce the gap as much as possible, but I just need the time to finish the internal deliberations, including a bit of sharing with bureaus on what we are doing and how we want their support and so on, so that we could start the Harbourfront Commission on a firm footing of that high-level blessing and so on and so on. Meanwhile, as we are, have suggested in the second paper, we have other ways of engaging members with your valuable input on the production of that publication, which again we will be making history in a committee of a government writing a book of his work. This is a real book, this is not a government report per se. So I hope that with that, if there are really urgent harbourfront matters that pop up in between, in the gap of 2-3 months, then we will have ways to bring members back in your whatever capacity to give us your feedback. I hope that's perhaps again a pragmatic way forward, because to extend it and then to line up meetings while we are doing all the other things, I'm worrying for Alice. She will be overloaded with several things happening at the same time. So I hope members will understand. On PPP, I personally have a lot of ideas on PPP. I share this view that PPP should not be given too narrow a definition. And that's why you notice that in the report on page 1, we deliberately put down this clear footnote that PPP in this context encompasses a much broader meaning than the usual references in the EU report or and so on and so on. Particularly, I really want to see in Hong Kong more community-based trusts, social enterprises, etc., that have the capacity to do real things. I'm not saying that our NGOs do not have the capacity, but so far, other than on the social welfare and the educational side, on these type of planning and city matters, we have up to this moment NGOs which are really just advocacy, brainstorming groups, think tanks and so on, but very few have displayed a real capacity to manage things. For example, I just give an example in the sense of WWF could manage a wetland for the public in addition to its advocacy role. I would love to see that we have really urban design groups or city planning groups that have that sort of capacity in Hong Kong. If New York City Central Park could be managed by a Central Park Conservation Trust, and there's no reason why every park, every open space in Hong Kong has to be managed by LCSB. It's that sort of philosophy. So we will look for that opportunity. Some of you will realize we are already starting to create that capacity on the heritage front by giving them big projects, over 100 million each, big projects to manage in revitalizing some government-owned historic buildings. So in time to come, they will have the management experience and expertise to take on even greater things on behalf of the public as well as the government. So we will not lose sight of all those opportunities. Particularly historic buildings. So in time to come, they will have the management experience and expertise to take, for your reference to private sector, we all know, having done this 22 action areas, we all know at certain spots, unless we talk to that private developer and get some ideas going, there's no way we could deliver the vision of a continuous harbour front. So I look to individual members in your whatever capacity to give us more encouragement and support to do that sort of talking with an individual developer, because he or she owns the land. How could you not talk to them in order to get what you want? But this has to be done in a pretty transparent way. So, and this is one of the reasons why last July, I don't know whether you have missed that, last July, I set up in Development Bureau the Development Opportunities Office. In fact, right now, the DOO has received at least one project concerning the harbourfront from that particular landowner and to talk to us on what they could do in order to contribute to our harbourfront objective, at the same time they could also redevelop their land, the land they own. So those are really the opportunities that we should have the courage to embrace and to take forward. But in order to do so, if we could have the support of the Future Commission and all members sitting around this table and all these professional institutes and so on, I think that would make our life much easier. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, do you have a comment?
有兩點我想回應一下嘅。第一就關於嗰個 gap 嘅 period 嘅問題咧，其實我希望局長考慮，譬如議會嘅議員咧嘅任期咧，就可以喺個 last meeting 之後仍然生效。咁我支持點解有我哋個委員可以繼續存在，直至新加坡 commission 相設立咧？其實我喺我哋過程之中咧，其實我哋好多都收到秘書處話有啲application 啊，申請延期去 Harbourfront Area 用嘅時候咧，咁我見到我哋好多 member 都俾咗好寶貴嘅意見，俾啲 comment 嘅。咁其實我覺得呢個 extend 呢個 gap 我哋嘅存在呢個期間，其實未必需要開會嘅，只不過就話如果有啲係 relate 嘅 Harbour 嘅時候，我哋仍然係有機會諮詢我哋仍然有機會用一個咁嘅 capacity 去 comment， 即係我哋呢個 membership 存在到存。到那個 Harbour Commission 成立，即是一個任期而已，但是就未必需要一定說要有會議去執行再繼續下去。那這個是一個其中，即是好像一些議會的議員他們開完最後一次會議，但是他的任期都未完，那差不多，不過那個當然的 period 就短很多，那當然是三兩個星期的事，但其實那個 principle 一樣，希望局長可以考慮一個這樣的 benchmark。 第二就是關於個 PPP 呢，其實長春市是曾經是很 active是參與，咁第一個我哋參與，我哋而家就朗園，我哋係參與個管理，咁當然有政府個funding，咁我哋其實亦都有好 active 同啲 developer 傾緊，我哋點樣同佢做 partnership 去發展啲 conservation area， 但係面對係好多問題，包括我哋自己身為一個環保組織同一個 developer 合作時候，我哋點被其他環保組織睇咧？我哋會唔會俾人 label 我哋去咗破壞個環境咧？咁亦都係我哋本身亦都係一個身為一個 NGO 咧，我哋嘅能力喺個 legal 方面點去 stay 加個 agreement， 點去 make sure 會唔會係被人哋 hijack 咗，或者係我用呢個詞可能唔好啱啦，或者係令到嗰個變 end up， 如果個項目出嚟之後，將來個 developer 賺好多錢啊，或者佢真係做咗啲環境破壞。而我哋因為我哋唔熟悉 legal 嗰個 agreement， 我哋唔能夠完全 cover 曬咧，咁係 put 我哋一個好 difficult position。所以我希望局長未來一個 PP 裏面咧，能夠喺呢方面都學你話齋，你好多新嘅思維，好多新嘅想法，同埋包括你政府嘅 investment。咁譬如如果有啲政府嘅參與喺裏面，增加咗我哋啲 concern 咧，譬如長春社呢啲咁嘅組織，我哋有樂意參與幫手去做，係 even 就算去做 management 嘅工作，都係主席。
我想回应一下林先生说的那个都是那个 gap 的问题。因为呢这几个月的延长呢，我们是有个 formality 做了的。因为大家是有一半的委员是来自一些会的嘛。那所以我们是逐个会社去说当日决定了有一个未完的事项，那希望延长应该是有实在的日子到这个月底。到呢個月底，喺呢個咁嘅延長裏面咧，貴會係會提名咩人咁，咁所以係好荒謬嘅，咁所以就唔存在著而家我可以隨便咧就即係用剛才你講個説法啊，如果要真係做咧，就又要寫一串，咁又要話到俾佢聽咧係幾多，因為上一次我相信有啲會係啊，既然都係最後幾個月咧，佢就唔諗啦，亦都或者唔翻去 consult 佢嗰啲咩 excom 咧，咁就話呢個繼續啦咁嚇。咁所以就唔存在有呢個方法可以我自己做，因為我哋真係好 respect 呢一種 nomination 嗰個 system。咁但係即係作為發展局咧，我哋冇理由唔歡迎有一班咁熟悉維港事務嘅專家大義工繼續去幫我哋喺呢幾個月撐住我哋嘅嚇。咁所以或者一個做法，可唔可以各位接受我委任各位做一個個人身份嘅顧問喺呢幾個月？即係 on an personal basis as Development Bureau's Harbourfront advisors until we have the Harbourfront Commission up and running. 如果各位要覆委任状，我都可以再签过一带一啲信俾各位。即系如果有需要，我哋一系传完，一系俾大家知道而家发生啲嘢吓，咁样好唔好咧吓？因为我真系唔想搞乱咗我哋以前嗰啲咁有规矩嘅做法吓。咁但系正如我所讲咧，我哋即系嗰个今日我哋会减到最低为止啦吓。至于林生提嗰个关于引进呢啲非政府机构第日扮演呢个角色。在一些公司型合作那裡關注，我們會特別關注看看可以怎樣幫忙在這裡做一做。多謝主席。
OK, in the interest of time, I think we have to move on, but before we move on, you see, colleagues, for the commission to be properly set up, for a due process to be initiated, we do need to endorse the task group report per se.Should I assume that we endorse this task group report in order to move ahead? Okay, thank you. One last item before we move on. We need a Chinese name for the commission. Before long, the reporters will be asking you and sometimes the question will be in Chinese. We don't have to make a decision. There is a list of possible Chinese names in the annex.Total of six of them. You could make a comment on the preference, or you could subsequently send an email to the secretariat to reflect your view. I believe at the end of the day, the commission would choose their own Chinese name, you know, by then. But if you have any view or preference on the possible Chinese name, promise.